Welcome to this mini-series of podcasts for World Athletics, where myself, Liliana Hora, the Women in Sport Manager with Athletics Ireland, and Vicky Hyten, the founder of the Female Coaching Network, will be interviewing a number of coaches who had a role at this year's World Athletics Championships. Whether it be as a team coach or a personal coach, we want to find out about their experiences of the World Championships in Eugene, what their roles involved, and how they managed through the busiest summer of athletics to date.
So a big welcome to our latest guest, Carol Bam, who is a former athlete representing Cameroon in the 100 and 400 metre hurdles, as well as the 4x4 relay at a number of Commonwealth Games, World Championships and Olympic Games. And she is a multiple medalist at the African Championships over a 10-year period in the early 2000s. Carol now coaches in Belgium, working with the national relay squads, and her most notable athlete is 400 metre specialist Cynthia Bologna. Carol and Cynthia began working together in 2012, and their journey has taken them to a number of world championships, European championships indoors and outdoors, and the Rio Olympic Games in 2016. And during this summer's jam-packed athletic season, Carol was part of the Belgian team at the World Championships in Eugene and the European Championships in Munich. So, Carol, if it's okay with you, I would love to start off some of the questions by reading out part of the article that Cynthia wrote in Spikes magazine in 2019, because I really think the very beginning of that article demonstrates what a beautiful relationship that you have between you and your athletes. So I'm just going to read out a few lines from the start of this article. So again, these are Cynthia's words. She starts by saying, "Everything is possible, my girl. I love you." That was the last thing she said before I went into the call room, a new version of the same line she told me for the past 7 years in training and competition, on the best days and the worst days. If you put your mind to it, Cynthia, you can do anything. The next time I saw Carol, a few minutes after the race, she was crying, overcome with emotion at the silver medal I had won, that we had won at the European Indoor Championships in Glasgow. She's not just my coach, not just my friend. Me and Carol were like family. Carol, I would love to know how it feels for you hearing those types of words. And your coaching philosophy is obviously all about caring for the athlete. So yeah, I just would love to know more about your relationship with your athletes and how that makes you feel hearing Cynthia write those words.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like sometimes when I was making I'm knowing about myself, the way I'm to be a good leader. Somebody told me your leadership is not the good one, because sometimes you are like a mom, and when you are like a mom, you don't like know how to take a very strong and good decision. I agree with that, because I have my way to be close with athletes, and it's me. I cannot change, because when I try to change, it takes me very more energy. And with Cynthia, I think we grow together. I have made some mistake, and I know it's our way to have this relationship make us together very, very strong, because it's not easy every time. And I think our communication is the base of our relationship with all my athletes. I think I'm very close with them, and we try to make a very, very good communication. And sometimes in track and field, in the high performance procedure, if I can call it like that, we have to communicate, we have to be close, because it's not easy at all. So the way I'm coaching is the relation. You have to be close with athletes, You have to know them, not only in the track, behind also is very, very important to know them, not only because they are athletes, to know the person behind the athlete is very important. I think this is the way, this is my, like the biggest part of me.
And something that a lot of coaches kind of forget, that you're there to coach the athlete and it's about them and that relationship that you build with them.
Yeah.
So how did you go then from competing for Cameroon to then retiring to going into coaching and now based in Belgium? Can you tell us about that journey since you've retired?
Yeah, my last year being athlete, I was training in Belgium. So I was first in the high performance training base in Dakar, and there was all the good African athlete there. And then some in before attend Olympics, I came before or after, I don't remember. So I came in Belgium because I wanted to change, and there was a coach there who told me, yes, here you can stay. And when I start my first year in Belgium, I see so many potential there, but there was like athletes don't trust themselves in their capacity to be like good, very good athletes. There was like, oh, me, I want just to make a Belgian championship. And with Cynthia, it was like that. Why want you to run only in Belgian championship? You can go to Olympics. You can be a very great athlete. But she didn't like trust me, and I was trying to convince her, and she was, no, you really, you think I can go to Olympics, me? I say, why not? And she was like, wow. And I see this kind of mindset in Belgium, and people don't very trust themselves. They think it's about other person, but not them. They are not able to be this or this kind of person, this kind of athlete. And that was my first contact and my first way to try to convince and Cynthia, because Cynthia was my very, very first athlete when I stopped running. And I start with her. The first thing was to change her mindset, because in her mind, she didn't like be able to believe in her, to believe in her capacity to be a very great and good athlete. So I start with her. The journey was not easy, because Cynthia was not trusting herself. She didn't believe and her capacity to be that athlete she are now. So we start like that, and we go like, you know, and now I think you see her mindset is completely changed. And that's how I start in Belgium with Cynthia.
And Carol, can I ask you, what age was Cynthia when you first met her, and what was so special? Like, how did you know she had the potential to go so far?
Because I run with Cynthia, because she was against Cynthia. We run against, and she was very young. I think she had like 15, 16. And when I stopped, she was 17, 18, something like that. When I start to, but she was about to stop, and she said, no, I'm injured every time. She was disappointed. So she was about to stop athletics to track. And I was in 2012. That was my last, I was trying to go London 2012 Olympics, and she was about to stop. And I was like, no, don't stop, because I know you. I saw you on track. You are very, you have a potential. And I remember that she was a friend with Nafi, and she was, oh, Nafi is very, very strong. She have a potential. I tell her, you have also the potential. Stop telling that there is the potential is in Nafi and not with in you. You have also the capacity to be a great and good athlete. So in the beginning, she didn't trust. It was year by year, season by season. So she, now she's, I think my from now is my best athlete, because I start with her when she was like running in 11.9 in 100.
And Carol, some, as we know, athletes, they transition into becoming coaches, and they might not always be the best coaches because they have a way of doing things for themselves, and they mightn't broaden their coaching knowledge or expertise. But what did you do to equip yourself to be able to coach at such a high level? Did you do any coaching courses? Did you have a mentor? Because that's a great responsibility.
Yes, because in Belgium, they have like a small, how to say it in English, like a school or to like some classes to be a coach. There is three part of them. The part one to be the for the young children, and the part two for, and the three is for the high performance. But I think this is not the, this is good to have them, but my experience is more important. My experience as an athlete, my experience about all those championships I have done when I was athlete. And I think also when you have it on you, and you know that you have something to give to other person, I think I have learned it about myself. And in Belgium, I know there is so many people who can like make great things, and they don't like know it in advance. And so you have to start in the bottom of the procedure, I can say. So me, I was in this base camp with African athletes. There was also high performance in Dakar. I don't know if you know it. In Dakar, there was, they call it CIAD. There was all the best African athletes. And in that camp, we was in Dakar, and we came in France to, in the second part of the season. So when we was there, it was only high performance. So for me I was in advance. I know how the high performance can be. So I try, and I know in Belgium there is some coaches who have some, I don't know in English how to explain, sorry about my English, I'm trying. I have my mentor in, this is the last, Marie-José Talou coaches, not the his coach now, because now she's in LA, and she had a coach in, and his first coach was Anthony Kofi. I don't know if you know him. And she just changed now this last year, but he had a coach in Africa. And so this is my mentor, because we communicate very, very for a long time. And he coached me also, because when I was in Africa, he coached me. And when sometimes I send Cynthia there for 3 weeks, and I go there also with Cynthia, and I learned a lot about coaching, about high performance, and that is my very mentor, because he makes some stuff, some difficult stuff easy. So this is one of the person who influenced me in my coaching, my way to coach. Yes.
So how did you go from working with Cynthia to where you're working now with the relay team? Was it because you were noticed by the federation as to how good you and Cynthia were working? How did that come about for you and the relay squad?
Yeah, because normally there was a relay team in Belgium, but when they asked me if I want to be a relay team coach, there was not a team, nothing. There was, so Cynthia ran 52.6. She was the faster at that time. And there was some girl who ran 54, 52, but no team. And I tried to put a team, put some girls who have some potential together to have a team. And I know this was very difficult. And I think they put me there because there was no team. And it was like, oh, what can she do? There is no team. And I started to ask some girls if we can make a team. I went to the Olympic community to ask if they can help us to put a team. And the Olympics community told me, oh, which kind of girl you want to make a team? There is no girl. There is no potential. There is no nothing. And I was disappointed, because I came with some paper and like some names. I say, you see this girl run now 54. I think if we help her, she can improve and she can run 52. And but it was very difficult. That's here, and they refused to help me to put the team. And the year before, there was Camille who came again to and say, oh, Carol, we can try again. She was running that time 54 also. And I went with again to see the federation. The federation said, no, if you want to put the team, you can try it by yourself, and if the team improve, you can come to see us and we will try to help you at that time. And then we try to find some sponsoring by ourselves with Camille, Hannah and me. And then I don't remember the name of the society who helped us a little bit to buy some ticket to go to Bern to try to qualify to the European Championship. That's here, it was in Berlin, I think. So we went there, we ran against Switzerland, and we qualify. And we buy ourselves ticket and everything, and they try to put us in an hotel, but we buy ourselves all our tickets to go there to, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we came back with the qualification, and then, oh, congratulations. We have some text message, oh, this is good. And that was how we start with the team. We went to Berlin for the European champion team, and we came fourth. And was not in the, we didn't have a medal, Scott, but it was a good beginning for us, because they didn't trust us, and they didn't like, they was not able to help us even to go to that that competition to find a qualification. We made it by ourselves. We take I think I was, my baby was 3 months, and I carried her. We went there and we qualified. So we went to 2 months late, 1 month, I think, we went to Berlin and was fought in final. That's how we start with the 4x4 project.
That is so impressive. That is almost film worthy. You could make a movie out of that. So was it your idea then to call them the Cheetahs? I really like that name for the team.
No, we was finding that here when Camille Hanna came to, we was, when we tried to make the team, to put the team, we tried to, we was, there was so many girls who was a, some proposition. Cynthia, I think she was say Wakanda, something like that. And Camille say Cheetahs, and so they, all them, we vote, and the girl said Cheetahs is the best choice.
Yeah, love that name, love that. So after being so successful when you first started and you having to do it all on your own,
yeah,
are the federation more supportive now, and are you as a relay squad almost like a staple part of the team when you go away to major championships?
Yes, now I think they are a little bit obliged to support us, because now we improve, and every time we improve, our very, very good goal was to make a final in Tokyo. And when we start, the goal was final in Tokyo, and we made it. This was the our very, very big goal. And now we try to every time to improve. In Munich, we was not lucky because we lost the medal, but we tried to do our best, and it was the national record.
Yeah. So how was the summer for you then and the team? Because it was a super busy summer, going from Eugene at the World Champs to just a couple of weeks later after the Commonwealth Games going to the Europeans in Munich. What was your experience like as a coach? You know, how did you manage that from your own mental and physical energy, as well as working with the team over those two championships? Was it tiring, I imagine, with all the travel and the time zones and everything as well?
Yeah. But in the beginning of all the season, we have some meeting with the team. We try to, we have our mental coach, Ellen, and we are trying to put the, like we have a pyramid like this, and all our goals in the season. And for Eugene, it was not our big goal this year. We, in the our pyramid, we just put final, but not our the goal was Munich this year. So this was like we passed by Eugene, but the goal was Munich. And I think Munich was good because we was 6 or 7, I think. But we made the final, and Munich was the, so when the we start with our pyramid, the girl already know we are going in Eugene for this, Munich is for this. But sometimes we made it, sometimes we don't even attempt our goal, but we start in the beginning, like here we will have a meeting in the a workshop with the girl, and we'll put all the what we have to do this year. So the girl already know that if they have they want to make the team, they have to run these 52, 51, if they want, and there will be 6, 7 in the team. There will be, so we have like a work program for the season, and the girl already know what they have to do to be in the team, or if we have if we are going in Eugene for this or for this, and Munich for this or for, they already know everything. So I think it's more easier, because when they try to, if they want to be in the team, they are trying or the best, their best to be on the team. They already know the time they have to run to be in the team. And they also know we will be 5, we will be 6, we will be 7, because the federation communicates to us how many girls we have to bring in the team. So when I have the number, I take the best of the girl.
And Carol, it's very evident with the relay squad how much of as a group that you have came on together. As you said, there's enormous depth there. You've elevated your performances from running back in, was it 2018, 2019, you were running 3:30 and you're running 3:22 now, which is fantastic. You spoke there about how the girls, their goals are aligned. They all know what's expected of them. They all know what it takes to get to be operating and performing together. And there's a great shared responsibility. And also obviously a fantastic team dynamics. I noticed though, the girls the other day ditched the spikes and they put on the nice shoes to walk in a catwalk for a fashion show. Are they the things that make the team so strong?
Yeah, of course, because we have so many stuff to do to make together, not only in the track. So sometimes we are going to make some we went to some trips together, and this time the fashion show they were so happy to wear other stuff, not only the track clothes, and it was very, very exciting to make them very beautiful makeup, and sometimes it's like a team building, and this is also the way we make it, because the girls are very friendly together. They are making some stuff together, not only on when we are going to some championship, the meeting, they are meeting together to eat, to some travel, and Cynthia, Camille, always together. I think this is the very, point four of our team. I think the girl, sometimes we say they are not running against them. They are running for them. You are not running against the other girl. You run for her, not against. This is the some sentence we use, and they use also, on ne court pas contre l'autre, on court pour l'autre. I don't know if you understand what I say in French. So they don't only see each other like they are very happy, and it's a very they are very happy. Like if Cynthia run very fast, they are happy because it's good for the team. They are not like, oh, she run really fast. And you know, track and field is an individual sport. It's sometimes difficult to be happy for another person, but I think in our team, it's not like that. The girl are very really happy to hear that the other one is running fast. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that it's about the team. It's not only an individual stuff. Because if Cynthia run fast, it's good for the team. If Camille run fast, it's good for the team. But sometimes, like in Memorial Vandamme, they put a race where they run. It was Cheetah's race. They run all together against themselves. Sometimes they have to make it, but I think when they finish to run, they hug themselves, they are happy. And I think it's very important, this cohesion in the team. This mm-hmm. is a part of us who is very, very important. That's why we try to make some activities and some team building for the girl to be very close and friendly, because I think it's very important.
Yes. And Carol, you spoke there about fashion and beauty, but we know that that's something you take very seriously yourself. You have also, as well as being a mother and a high performance coach, you're also a very successful businesswoman with your own brand, Ethnolicious. How do you juggle it all? How are you able to manage a national relay squad plus be a fantastic mother and businesswoman?
This is not easy at all. It's not easy because this summer I was 1 month in Eugene and 2 weeks in Munich, and I have two children who are 7 and 4, and the husband also. It's not that easy because it takes me time, but it's challenging. When you have some challenging, life is more exciting, I think. But I'm trying. It's not that easy, but I'm trying. And from now, I think I like coaching. But sometimes I think to have my brand in between or in make me sometimes. Because coaching, sometimes I'm not comfortable to being a female coach. Sometimes I think they will be able to put me out very quickly in the federation. Because sometimes it's not that easy. And I like modeling, but I like more coaching. But I think Ethnolicious is my happy place, is my business, and I like it. And I think it's my thing. I'm the boss of Ethnolicious, and coaching is, I think this is like in French we call it the siège éjectable. They can like put you out every time they want. So sometimes I want my own business. I want to manage my own things. And sometimes I feel very comfortable to have that business. And I think sometimes I'm able to coach without stress because I have Ethnolicious. And because it's not that easy. And to be a female coach, I think it's everywhere, but I think sometimes in Belgium is worse, it's more difficult.
Sport, you're right, can be very fickle, but it can also be very powerful and rewarding, which is why I know that you continue to do what you do. But how important is legacy and being a female coach to you?
Because I think it's good to be a model. And I think now I have some girls in the club where I'm working who want to be also a coach, a female coach. because some girls, some athletes, I want to be coach like you. And it's very important because this is how this part of the, if I can call it this part of the business, to be a female coach can grow, because we are not so many. Like, we are in the Belgian Federation too. Sometimes I am alone in a very big group of coaches, and sometimes I'm feeling very alone because I don't even, the coach, the main coach are sometimes in their path and alone, but it's important to stay and to try to change things, because this is not, sometimes it's not even fair to have this difference between men coaches and female coaches. So the legacy here is very, very important, and we have to fight every day to show people that we are also able, like men. Why not?
Thank you so much, Carol.
Vicky.
Yes, Carol, just to finish off, I have four quick questions to ask you that don't need super long answers, just maybe a one or two word answer. So I'm going to throw in some quick fire questions to finish off. The first one is, what is more nerve wracking, coaching or competing?
Yeah, this is a good question. Sometimes I'm telling my athletes, I'm more stressful as a coach. Because when I was athlete, I don't know, I was not having, maybe because I'm getting old, but I think coaching is more stressful.
Everyone has said that. Everyone that's been an athlete, now a coach, has said that too. Number two is, what is the first memory that comes to mind of when you were an athlete?
The first thing I remember like this, I think, when I was in Athens and I was running 4x4, and I was, our tracksuit was red, and I make some blonde dread, and the girl was coming to give me the baton. She went to give it to a Russian girl because she was also blonde, and I said, no, I'm here. So she was tired and she was confused, so she gave the baton to another girl who was in front of
her. Oh no. The next question is, what is the last thing you say to your athletes before they step out onto the track to compete?
Yes, I like the last I say, if you are here because you are able to run fast.
And the last question is, what is your favorite book you have ever read?
The book I'm reading now is Richa Young book, Simplify to Perform.
There you go. Everybody will be buying that on Amazon now to try and find that. Carol, thank you so much for your time. I absolutely loved finding out about your journey, about the story of getting the Belgian relay squad together. It was really fascinating. And I just wish you all the best of luck for the future. And we'll definitely be following the squad to see how you all get on in next year's World Champs. Thank you so much, Carol.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to you both to ask me some questions. I'm very proud because I think my work, some people looking at me, and I'm very proud that you asked me this spot.
You're making an enormous impact, obviously, within the Belgium athletics, and the especially amongst the 4x4 relay. So you have an incredible influence and incredible coaching career ahead of you. So we, as Vicky said, we look forward to supporting the Belgian cheetahs and yourself over the next few years.
Oh, thank you very much.